freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to do you on the interview.
Don't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
All right, roll along, man. Three days to go, Brock, before opening day on Thursday. Awesome, man. Just excited. It's going to be a beautiful weekend as well. Red Sox will be in town. Mariners getting underway. Last trip here through the rotation. They're out of Arizona. They were all desperate and excited and felt like they'd been there forever as they were being interviewed over the last couple of days. Like, yeah, we're ready to get the heck out of here. Couple of days in San Diego and then finally home to Seattle.
And while you have a little bit of moisture coming over the next few days, you're exactly right. Look at the baseball heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Look at them open up for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, upper 50s, and nothing but sunshine, not a cloud in the sky.
60s over the weekend. It should be even better. Yeah, it's going to be great. Really excited about it. And then
Marine layer what?
Well, when they hit, like, right, everyone's gonna be like, oh, see. Now, there is a question. I was asked this over the weekend. I'm curious your thoughts on it. Should the Mariners get here more than a day early to sort of acclimate to the temperature and the climate and all of that? Or do you just, you know, do it the way you do it?
Did a sports person, like, where did that come from?
That was just a friend. Like a friend just asked me that yesterday. Just a friend.
Just a friend.
Friend,
Yeah, a little slow starts the last couple of years, a little bit of frustration in April and May. Is it good to acclimate? Is it a good thing to get in there and hit BP and go, well, hold on a second. My 7-iron went 165 right in the desert, and now I'm back here.
Yeah, it's 145.
Echo Falls, and it's going 148. What exactly? I'm hitting the exact same shot.
Right.
So I don't know. I for this group, for the Mitch Hanigers, for the veteran guys, the Mitch Garvers, the Mitch Witches, I don't think it plays really. Julio, I don't think it plays that big a role.
Okay.
No. They're going to go down to San Diego, and they'll hit in that ballpark for a couple of days, and then they'll come up here Wednesday.
And by the way, that's not a hitter's ballpark either. I mean, the weather may be nice, but that's right on the water, and that, you know, the ball does not fly out of that park, Petco, at all. So, yeah, maybe that is sort of a good in-between. You're gradually acclimating yourself before finally taking over on Thursday night. Two moments stood out from the weekend. Both were player-driven, but not necessarily with their actions, more with their words. So this started, Was this Friday with Colt Emerson? It was Friday night, I believe. Colt Emerson, young prospect, right? Probably going to be at single A this year up in Everett. Really, really exciting player. He's added a bunch of bulk. He can really hit. He can run.
Stud.
He kind of does
He's
it all.
A stud.
Anyway, so he comes into the booth, and he is calling the game with Rick, with Aaron kind of sitting there interviewing him at the same time, and he had a moment.
Jamin Jalapeno's good, but... Oh, high fly ball, left center. Ah, dang it.
Did he catch it?
Yeah, he got it. I thought he got it.
Wow. Hey, you know what, though?
Play,
hey,
man.
Great job not cursing.
Yeah.
You were really close. You were seriously close to ruining your broadcasting career.
Baseball gets me excited.
That's awesome, buddy.
There's so many firsts that have happened today.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that we were a part of it with you.
I almost got more nervous for that call than I did when I was hitting in the game.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you did. Colt, your face looked terrified.
Yeah, I was like...
Up here.
Brock, you realize he's younger than both of your daughters?
Is that true?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
I was thinking about the fact that
he's 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, Macy's 18. I think he's 18, right?
I think he's 18. But I think he's a grade below her, right? Because didn't he just finish?
Graduated like Macy. Yeah, I mean, he's Macy. Yeah, he's and that sounded like Macy. If Macy was up in the booth,
that's
although
how
I don't
she
think
been.
She's a big swearer. Yes, but he was about ready
she's
to go.
Word,
oh, poopy.
Right.
Yep. That's right. Yep. And he, he is just a stud. And he just kicked Jackson Goldsmith right out of the middle there, so he could sit between Rick and Aaron and lose his mind.
Well, he sounded fun, man. I'll tell you that. I mean, that's like one of the cool things is just how fun that next group is going to be as they're on their way up. And then Julio, this was...
Wait. 1 second, though. Did he sound better? I'm not going to lie.
He sounded
better? I tell young people in media all the time, you don't get a lot of feedback. It actually is not a feat for you do on right. Twitter and the social realms, but as far as your, you know, your bosses, all those years at ESPN, I've been at Fox, like very little feedback. Your only feedback is you get invited back. Like that's the best tell of all.
Oh,
like,
I yeah, they want you to come back. Sure.
Well, I'm just saying, I felt like I did pretty good up in the booth, you know, there in a few years ago when I was yelling, "You sit down."
Yeah.
You. I even had my own call.
I mean, we were there you together. Thanks for remembering. Yeah, you were with me, not Aaron, but that's fine.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Well, somebody. Cool. Somebody. I mean, was it Ricky?
No, it was.
Was
just
it Ricky?
You and me.
Ricky was guiding. No, it was not.
Yes,
they
it
had
was.
To have a true pro.
I remember
pro.
When
had,
you guys called.
It was
yeah,
just you and me. I was.
They had to have a true pro
it.
In there,
huh? They
were
didn't.
You really?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think you're misremembering.
Not.
But all I know is that we've not been invited back. That's
no
all I know.
That's very evident. Yeah, we've never. Yes. Yeah, they're done with us.
Well, there you go, Brock. If it was you and Goldie, you would have been invited back. But it was you
probably.
And
Goldie. Well, probably.
Well, now, hold on a minute. Now, all of a sudden, I'm the problem? I'm the only one who at least remembered what happened. Sheesh. Anyway.
Well, I remembered my call, and it was a great one, and I've not gotten to use it again. You sit down.
Maybe it wasn't as great as you thought
down.
It was. Maybe it wasn't quite as good
no,
as you thought.
It was not.
Julio Rodriguez always gets invited back, and after what happened yesterday, I think he's going to say yes every time.
He's a really hardworking guy, somebody that definitely lives by example, and he's somebody that you're always glad to have in the clubhouse. And, I mean, what he's doing for us right now, look at that. Look at that. That's gone. That is gone. I'm not leaving the mic now. I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to go to center. I'm going to stay here. Chris about a homer. So that's what I'm saying. Like, he's just a guy that he's a really hard worker, and I feel like everything's paying off for him. I'm happy to see what he's going to do for us. And I know we all, like you said, we're all really excited to have him.
All right, I got a bunch of thoughts about this, but the one I just can't shake, that's his second language. I cannot believe how unbelievably comfortable he is in a language that is not his native tongue that he has picked up over the last few years and really just like, I mean, mastered. He is so comfortable that in that moment, as everything changes, he just calmly transitions to, oh, yeah, that's going to go out. That's a home run. Anyway, and turns right back and then just keeps going. Like, it is remarkable.
Agreed.
He is a spectacular person.
Totally agree. I will co-sign on that one completely. And yeah, a couple of years ago, we all know that Kevin, that was not the guy to target. That's the wrong guy, because this guy's going to work his tail off in every single way, including that way, to be a bridge builder, to communicate with everybody in that clubhouse. And that was well done. I thought you were going to focus on the 1,500 OPS and five bombs that Mitch hit.
Yeah, Mitch's been pretty good. He had a pretty good spring.
Jeez.
Mitch and Cal, yeah, those guys had they had pretty good springs. Julio as well. I mean, he didn't get a ton of playing time, but when he was in there, he looked great. Everybody did, man. This was about as good a spring training as this team could have possibly
collectively,
had.
I can't remember as good a one.
I think that's true.
Collectively, like from top down and the whole lineup and everything, I just cannot remember one.
They went 500. Right? Like, it's not like they won all the games. They gave up a ton of runs in addition to scoring. They did not start very well at the beginning of the spring. But the regulars all had unbelievable springs. And a lot of the runs that were given up were by guys that are likely not to start the year anyway on this team and may never end up pitching for this team. We'll wait and find out. I do think there's still a question about depth. And 7:30 kind of want to go through some of the good, the bad, and the in-between with this team heading into the season. But you're right. I mean, in terms of spring, they've just gone out and absolutely, if there's anything they could possibly do to erase a lot of the bad vibes that were there at the end of the last season, and into December, man, the team on the field anyway has done everything you could possibly ask them to do here in the spring.
I would agree. And it's been, hey, we don't have to talk about it. Let's just be about it. Mm-hmm. Let's just walk about it and let's just go out there and get our job done, get ready to go. I know that they're excited to finish this thing off in San Diego. It's perfect. I mean, these are two exhibition games that get you further ready to go. San Diego's already played a few of theirs. And you head up the old I-5, well, they'll probably fly, and then we get the whole thing started Thursday afternoon.
206 says, this year the Mariners will be making contact into the gaps in April. Brock, they will be Marine Slayers. The Marine Slayers, led by Brant Brown. The Marine Slayers. Coming to T-Mobile starting on Thursday. We'll come back with everything you need to know next. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know.
up first.
Well, how do you end a 500 Cactus League season, Brock? Well, you tie again, 9-9. The Mariners did it yesterday. Logan Gilbert was very sharp early. Mitch Haniger made his last at bat look almost exactly like his first.
So left by Moore. His big drive. Left center field. Headed for the berm. Goodbye. Home run, Mitch Haniger. Boy, did he get into that pitch. Hendricks is trying to work on his breaking ball. That pitch was up in his eyes, and he hammered it. Nicely done by Mitch. Home run number 5, RBI number 7, and that's his second hit today, 15 on the spring. Good to have you back, big fella.
Yeah, he had a pretty good spring, huh?
Mm-hmm. Timing was good. Swing was good. Most importantly, health was good. And when Julio on the call, as he's sitting there in the dugout watching that, he knew. When Julio was on the call, he talked about how hard Mitch worked. Yep. Nobody worked that sled more than Mitch. Nobody was there earlier than Mitch. He knows,
what he knows where he's at. And, yep. and all of that. Scott talked about it.
Mitch is in a really good spot. I think it's, we said it early on, he was excited to be back. I think the way he has played this spring kind of echoes that, and the fact that he's comfortable here. He likes what we're doing. He likes the team around him, and he wants to be a big part of it. So, biggest thing with Mitch is, if we get 140 games out of Mitch, we're golden. But along the way, get a day off here or there. But he's swinging the bat really well. I thought his at-bats today were outstanding.
I was asking them earlier, Brock, I think it'd be a little weird to be talked about like that. If you're Mitch, if we could just get 140, I don't know. I feel like I'd be like, hey, man, I'm doing the best I can. I'm out here trying to play. I'm not a big wuss. All right, wrap me in bubble tape or whatever you have to do.
Yeah, bubble wrap for the guy that's got a pretty good track record. I know. Baseball does look at track record.
I know him and James Paxton. These poor guys. Yes. Michael Saunders was like that.
Michael
anyway,
Salk,
A couple of extra base hits for Luke Rayleigh yesterday. That's good news. Maybe he's starting to find his timing just as this season is about to get underway. Way Scott was happy about that as well.
Really good to see Luke Rayleigh, pick it up here the last probably 3 or 4 days, and played him a lot. Hopefully he can find his timing and rhythm, and he certainly did. So we're ready to depart Arizona. It's been a good spring. It really has, with all the new faces and everything else, getting everybody acclimated to what we do. Like where we're at offensively, I think we've done some really good things the last couple weeks, and we just need to continue.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember when you started golfing and you loved playing in those scrambles, free golf?
Mm.
I get to play on really nice courses and it's free golf and everything else, and I'm kind of finding my game.
Yeah.
And then once you start to play your own game, you're like, no, I'd like to just kind of hit my own ball, get my own score, make it all count for my own record rather than just some scramble. I think that's kind of what the spring is. This is all great. None of it counts. So can we get to the real thing so I can start to start to produce for real?
I would say they seem pretty ready for that to happen. They do have 2 more games to play. It'll be tonight and tomorrow in San Diego. 2 more spring training games that don't count towards the Cactus League. And then Thursday, opening night, Luis Castillo, Brian Bello, and the Red Sox. Got to hope the way they played the last 2 weeks carries over.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, great start for the Cougs. They just couldn't keep it up for the full 40 minutes on Saturday. They fall to Iowa State. Bummer to end it that way, but what a cool season. What a cool way for this team to close out their time in the Pac-12. It was a heck of an effort, and they deserve applause, I guess I would just say.
They do. Molly was watching some of the pregame, that's our coach. He looks so educated. So I said, it's called nerdball. I mean, he gets the most out of his personnel and has found all sorts of different parts and pieces to make it work. Most importantly for them, they did win one game, but the Pac-12 went kind of crazy Thursday and Friday, and making them a whole bunch of money on the women's side has brought in some revenue as well. So, neat to win a game, but much more importantly for the fiscal and the bottom line.
Yeah,
they've made a bunch of millions of dollars. They certainly need.
And still with more money to be made, possibly, with Arizona State.
Back to pack.
Still
go
in
Cats.
It and moving on. Yeah. Gonzaga goes on to yet another Sweet 16. That's pretty cool. They beat Kansas, blew them out, really. South Carolina, Iowa, LSU, all advancing in the women's bracket this weekend as well. Caitlin Clark, I mean, tell you what, Holy Cross gave her some fits early. Yep. They were physical with her.
Well, West Virginia tonight. So
they're going to be physical, too.
Oh, yes, they will.
Yeah,
yes,
I think everyone will. I mean, that's going to be the book on her, and she's going to have to try to figure out how to get through that.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, if you'd like to see the opposite of physical, you could watch the Kraken play hockey right now. They gave up 4 goals in the first period yesterday on 6 shots, no less. Philip Grubauer pulled. And they lose 5-1 to Montreal. But the score and the 8 games that they've lost in a row now, that's not even really the story. The story is they look like they quit, man. And I don't like getting in the business of talking about effort. But when the coach says it, well, you can probably jump right on his back.
You play this game with passion. You play it with heart. You play it for the guy next to you. And we're not doing that right now. And that's more than disappointing. That's hard to be part of, and that's something that that we're going
to
change.
Well, they're going to have to. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be outmanned; it's another to be outworked. And for a coach who's now gone 3 years without a tremendous amount of success, short of a pretty good run last season, you can't have them not working hard.
Well, in a sport where the buck stops with the coach. I mean, this
and
is
where
a,
the coaches get turned over all the
that's
time.
That's what I'm saying. That's that. This is a
I mean, he's
profession,
like the
and this is a
longest tenured head coach in the
correct.
NHL.
Correct. And that's 8 in a row.
It's 8 in a row. Yeah.
So Gonzaga made it to their 9th straight Sweet 16. And yeah. The Kraken have lost 8 straight games.
Yeah, things aren't great over there in Kraken world. All right, that's everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here in the Brock and Salk Show. The only other thing, Shohei Ohtani is going to speak later today.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he's going to say?
I don't know.
Why?
He better be very, very careful. I mean, this is one of those times like, oh, it's great to speak. It's great to get you on the record. You better make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed, because these are the words that if it's proven in Major League Baseball has now started their process of digging into this. And anything you say today that's proven to be a lie and not credible, it's going to live forever. So you better be very. I never bet on baseball, Pete Rose. Yeah, yes, you did. And because of it, you're not in the Hall of Fame ever. Mm-hmm. So you better be very, very, very careful with your words. And I don't know, maybe a time to be a little transparent into some of the dealings as well.
Well, but I think, I don't know if you can be both of those things at the same time. Can you be both transparent and incredibly careful with your words?
I think you can be transparent about the guy that was your interpreter.
Well,
that
doesn't sound like he was very intransparent at all, right? I mean, like, this guy is now sketchy as you know what.
Yep.
Like, I mean, it sounds like he didn't go to the college he said he went to. He didn't work for the Red Sox when he said he did. And yeah, these are things that are, like, pretty easy to fact check.
Yeah.
Fact check. So
fat, like P-H-A-T, fat check? Or
no, fact.
F-A-C-T?
No, that's fact check.
Dude, why did Lefko do that to you, by the way? Why has he got to throw you under the bus like that in that email?
I don't know.
Did you see that last night?
I did. I was going to ask Salk who he had winning in his bracket, but I knew it would get into a whole thing.
And jeez.
I just didn't fill out a bracket.
Yeah, why not?
I forgot. I forgot. I know.
Only one on the team that forgot.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I forgot.
Okay, fine.
It wasn't that important to me.
No, I guess
there's no I in bracket.
Nope. That's exactly right. Yeah.
There's no ME either. Nope.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I forgot. I don't know what to tell you. I forgot to fill out a bracket this year. But thanks for publicizing it, Brock. I appreciate that. All right.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I know. I appreciate that. You know what? It's baseball season. That's what I'm thinking about. That's what I'm thinking on. And that's what we're going to discuss next. Things you feel good about. Things you feel good about that you didn't think you'd feel good about. And things that you don't feel that good about yet. It's next on Brock and Salk.
This hour of the Brock and Salk Show is powered by Star Rentals, preferred supplier to the West's best contractors.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Joel Klatt's going to join us an hour from now. He's not going to be mean to me again, is he?
I don't think so. I think you should say, you know what, Joel? Since the last time you were on over a month ago, I went back. I watched every one of JJ's cuts, and I now see why he's going to be a top 10 pick.
Top 5 pick, maybe.
Top 5 pick. You're
today's
absolutely right.
Pro Football Focus says Minnesota's going to trade up and get him at number 5. So.
Yep.
So,
yeah, that's kind of how Joel works. Just say, Joel, you really made me think. You know, I was really thinking long and hard. I was embarrassed after our last time we had you on. So I don't know about you, but I study YouTube.
Yeah.
And I study a lot of the highlights and clips. And now I know why JJ's going to go way up there. A pretty good pro day, by the way. I'll fill you in Blue 88.
Oh, good. I'm psyched to hear about that. All right. So that's coming up in 15. And then Joel's going to join us at 8:30, 3 days away from opening day. And Moore asked a good question that kind of took my brain into a few different spots at once, essentially saying, all right, is there anything that you are feeling pretty good about that you didn't think you were going to feel that good about? And so I was like, oh, you know what? That's a pretty good question. So I then just sort of.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then. Wow. Nice job, Maura. Wow. She's so proud.
Did you guys talk about what Maura did this weekend?
Oh, yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. Okay,
Holy Festival?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was covered in painted chalk. Yeah. Yeah, no, we talked about that.
I think, okay, yeah. Great. I think a lot of it went in my nose and my mouth and my ears.
Your ears?
It was fun. Yeah, I have a friend who's from India, and it's like their celebration of spring, and they had it at downtown Bellevue Park. And yeah, you just throw this like colored powder all over everyone. They look like artwork.
Yeah. That's kind of, I mean, I think that's a pretty accurate description of what you look like at the end of it. Yeah, saw the pictures, and more looked like artwork. Yeah, that's how I always describe you to people. Hey, what's more like? Do you know art? Yeah, she's a lot like art. Anyway, so good question, Maura, about the Mariners. Things I feel good about, things I feel good about that are surprising me, and things that I still don't quite feel comfortable with. Here's some things I feel good about, just in general, and they're not surprises. I feel really good about the rotation. I think we can all agree. Does anybody not feel good about the
MLB.
Rotation?
MLB.com, and they rank the top 10 rotations. Did you see that over the weekend?
No.
Final kind of list before we get going. Top 2? Everything kicking off. They were number one.
Yeah, they should be.
They were number one. I think the Braves were number two. What was interesting about that is the next American League team was, I think, Toronto and at 6. So the first 5, 4 of them were National League teams. Yeah. You were numero uno right there at the very top.
It's interesting.
And you only won the top 5 from the American
League. A lot of the money that got spent this offseason was in the National League, too. It's like 80% of the free agent money went to the National League this year. So I don't know exactly what that means or, you know, what it's going to say for this season, but just something worth noting. You know, the lengthening of this lineup has got to be on that list, right? Adding the two Mitches, adding Polanco, kind of what especially those three guys are doing to the length of the lineup, I would say is something I do feel very good about. I'm not surprised by it, but I feel good about it. Polanco and both Mitches had phenomenal spring trainings. I mean, just Polanco's
when you started to
constantly
see
constantly on base.
Yeah, when you started to see that lineup taking shape here over the last week or so, when the regulars were playing a little bit more and you got Ty France hitting like 7th. And some of that obviously was off of a difficult season a year ago, and Ty's going to have to dig himself out of that hole. But what was Ty last year for the majority of the year? Third hitter?
Until the wheels totally came off,
yeah. And, you know, in August and September and everything else. But yeah, you start to see Haniger at 6 and Ty at 7. It feels a whole lot different than that lineup that started day one last year.
And then the thing I feel best about is Julio. I think Julio is poised to have a real monster year. Third year in the big leagues, right? You got to see him explode on the scene as a rookie, have a solid but maybe not spectacular sophomore season where he was dealing with the All-Star game and hosting and becoming a superstar for the first time. He takes this offseason, he recommits, he thinks about what he needs to do in order to focus better and kind of block out some of the distractions and learn how to say no. And it feels to me anyway, like season 3 is going to be the year where we're like, oh my gosh, this guy's absurd.
Every once in a while, I take things from you personal. Okay. I just do. I mean, it's 15 years of relationship with you. I take things personal. And then when Justin and Maura kind of jump aboard and cackle from the peanut gallery, like, oh, okay, fine. I'll absorb this. I'll listen to this.
Okay.
And you know, over the last few weeks, it's been Titus this, Titus that, telling these Titus stories. Yeah. And here you go again. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to actually use a Julio to a Macy. And I'm going to ask you a question, because my Macy is the kind of player.
Well, you have other kids?
I do. I have 2 daughters, Haley. It's
crazy.
Haley Macy, and then Titus is the youngest.
You sure?
Why don't you watch your mouth? Okay? Stop presenting this in a false narrative. It's ridiculous.
I'm not sure that his critique was meaning for you to incorporate your other children.
Right. I don't know if that's quite where we were going with that one.
I'm going to. Okay, there you go.
Of course you are.
Fine, Maura, if you hate Macy too, that's fine. Okay?
Oh my gosh,
totally cool. If you don't like Macy and Haley
hate
and
Macy.
Titus.
She's like the sweetest person.
Well, real piece of art, Maura.
Why don't you throw some more chalk on yourself, Maura? Yeah. Jeez, why don't you get a little holier before you start passing some judgment on my Macy? My Macy is the kind of player, and Molly has said this numerous times, you've got to take the good with the bad. Like, I'm sorry, she is just hyper, hyper aggressive. She's never going to play a totally clean game. She's going to be, you know, kind of aggressiveness is going to win out at times over details, but that's just what you're going to get. And overall, you look at the whole body work, and at the end of it, you're like, man, that was a lot of production. My question for Julio along those lines, because when people hear you say, he had an okay year, you know, he won that great, and then they throw the end of the year numbers out, and you're like, dude, he's like top 5, you know, in F war. I mean, he was top 5, and he was a 30 for 30 guy. How many have done that? But I think what you would say to that is, I watched every game, and I watched an April and a September that was really rough. I watched an August that was out of this world. And I kind of bring up that Macy, like, is there just going to be, within Julio's games, peaks and valleys that you're just going to have to accept?
There will probably be some, but I don't know that they'll be like they were last year. I think that's my gut feeling on it, is I think that last year was extreme. And I think overall, yeah, there'll probably be some peaks and valleys because he's going to have a little swing and miss, right? I mean, like, he's going to have some chase to his game. But with the speed that doesn't go into a slump, and the unreal power and the ability to just do so many different things on a baseball field.
Yes.
I think we're going to see an even
better. Are we getting to the point you think this year where there's now 1,000, 1,500 at bats where you're like, okay, you know, because a season ago, and Scott protecting his guys would rightfully say, listen, he is still an unbelievably young player, both by birth certificate and by experience in this league. But now you get into year three and you start to get to the 1,500 at bat level.
Yeah.
You know, should some of those moments, some of those pitchers, some of the way you approach but all of that?
He's still only 23. I mean, like, you say all of those things. This should be, like, for most really good players, this would be like his rookie year.
Yeah.
I mean, so, yeah, no, you're right. Those things are true. But also, he is just so incredibly young. I'm just really excited about him. I think Julio is probably the thing I feel best about on this team right now, even better than the rotation, which is awesome. Moore's actual original question. Things you feel good. Should I? Is there anything else on your list, Brock, that you feel really good about right now?
I like where you're going.
Okay.
Like where you're going.
You feel good about that maybe you didn't think you would. Maura, I know in your email you pointed specifically to Mitch Haniger. How are you? Where are you on Mitch today?
Yeah, I really, when they brought him back, I was like, what? I have to admit, but, and I know just because he's had a good spring doesn't mean that it's going to translate, but I really do feel like they're approaching him differently this time, knowing the injury history that he's had. And I don't know, I'm just optimistic that he can keep up what he's doing and hopefully with some maintenance. Avoid some, because we talked about how a lot of his injuries are bad luck too. It's like that has to end at some point, right?
It's not all hamstrings and sore arms or anything like that. It's like he gets hit by something, and like, he's had a lot of bad luck. There's no doubt. Keep up what he's doing. He's not gonna have a 1500 OPS during the season.
But
we all know
keep
that
hitting well.
But could he have a 800 OPS this season? If he does, that would be enormous, enormous help for this team, especially if they come in some really big moments. So, yeah, I love that one. The two that kind of came to me were, I think the new offensive strategy was not something I thought I would feel as good about as I do today. I feel better about it than I thought I would. You know me, I'm not a big, I don't hate strikeouts the way a lot of other people do. I think that the problems the Mariners had last year weren't about the strikeouts. They were about the fact that, you know, during the non-strikeouts, they didn't walk enough and they didn't hit enough home runs. And I thought sort of throughout the offseason that maybe they went a little overboard trying to correct that.
Mm-hmm.
What I find myself enjoying about it now is that they actually committed to something that seems holistic to their entire roster.
Yes.
That it feels like an actual commitment and an identity rather than just an overcorrection.
Well, it feels like you matched your personnel with your plan. And that was my whole struggle with control of the zone. And I know control of the zone did not mean no strikeouts. Control of the zone, though, meant approach. And it did mean be hard to pitch against. Mm-hmm. And Teo is the opposite of that. He is the anti-poster child for control of the zone. He's going to hit the ball really hard. And who knows? Maybe he bounces back down in L.A. and hits 30 home runs this year. And, you know, he brings that tool to the trade. But it didn't fit to me, just the mentality. And Gino didn't fit some of that mentality versus these Mitch Witches fit an offensive strategist. A Polanco fits with being a contact guy. Arias is a hit collector, as Brant Brown told me as we were outside the cage. That's what he is. He's a volume hit collector kind of guy. So I think the pieces personnel-wise fit a whole bunch of the strategy and the plan.
I'd agree with almost all of that. I'd argue with you on the Gino thing specifically. That guy absolutely controlled the zone. He just didn't walk as much last year as he's supposed to, right? He's supposed to have more walks. He's supposed to have more home runs. You could have lived with every single one of his strikeouts last year if he had done the walking and the home run hitting that he had done the previous couple of years. But anyway, I'm starting to come around on that. I feel better about it than I thought I would, especially here in April.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they've done a better job than maybe I thought of putting last year, the end of last year and the early part of the offseason, of putting it behind them. Now, that's totally all pending their first losing streak, right? I mean, maybe it's still right there under under the surface. And the moment things go awry, they're right back at it. And we find ourselves feeling exactly the way we did. And they find themselves feeling the way they did in September and October. But as of today, I think they've done a better job than I was expecting of kind of moving past that.
Yeah, I think the more that we listened to everybody over the course of the last month, that was emotion and rightful emotion, right? And rightful rage at times, even at the end of the year. And that's all fine. But emotions do pass, and now choices are what's most important. And it does certainly feel like they've all let that emotion pass. The choice that they made this offseason with many of these veteran guys that are hard-working dudes, a bunch of them that have some production. And I would add on my list, Salk, the most pleasant surprise to me has been Polanco. It's just been, haven't heard a whisper of his health and anything else this entire spring.
True.
B, I think he's been very solid defensively, albeit once again in the spring. But then just the approach.
Yeah.
I mean, he just feels like an absolute pro, which has been a very much struggle at second base for this organization for some time.
Now, that's all the good news. I will admit, with just 2 minutes here, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on it because it's mostly about hope and optimism today. There's five or six things that I got that I'm still pretty uncomfortable with on this team. I don't feel very good about this bullpen right now today. Doesn't mean they're not going to be good, but I don't feel comfortable with them yet, especially with Brash and Santos. Neither of them are going to start the year on the team. We haven't seen them really much at all. I mean, it's sort
of. So who will be your high leverage guys in the eighth and ninth? And if Scott is right, there are going to be a lot of one run games in April and May.
Yeah.
That's just the way the ballpark.
I mean, I'm going to guess right now it's Munoz followed by Stanek are your one and your two.
Okay.
And then after that, it's probably Spire next. Right? Thornton. Right? I mean, without you take Brash and Santos, and obviously Justin Topa's gone.
Yep.
Coard is injured. He's not. I mean, so all of a sudden, those high leverage spots that you get early.
Vargas is going to start in AAA.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, he had all kinds of command issues. Yeah, I think Colin Snyder is going to make the team, and I think Cody Bolton is going to make the team, and they're going to be sort of the last two guys in.
Cody Bolton?
Yeah.
Did we preview Cody Bolton?
Yeah, we did. He was actually like the first guy they gave a little money to this offseason.
Was he really?
He's been good. I was talking about it. Oh, it was while you were out last week that I was saying he's kind of separated himself from that group as probably being the best of them. But I'm a little nervous about the bullpen.
Yeah, that's concerning.
I'm still nervous about the depth of the pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved for them to have maybe found one other starter this offseason who could kind of be around. I'm glad they brought Levi Stout back, but I got a little concern there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still concerned at third base. I think I got to see what that looks like into the regular season. I'm probably most concerned about the defense on this team in both the corner outfield spots at third base. I don't know what it's going to look like yet at second. Not that it's going to be bad, but I don't know yet. I got a little defense concern about this team. And then the last one is just because he started to pick it up. It's just Ty France. And he's such a potential difference maker if he can be the guy that we know he can be.
Yep.
He started to pick it up a little bit late in the spring, but for all the conversation about how much better he looked and this and that, just kind of waiting on Ty, like, okay, let's see the results of all of that.
Yep.
And until I do, I'm hopeful, but I'm also, I would say, not quite comfortable yet.
Yep. I think all of that is totally, completely fair. I'm kind of excited. To go back to that excited list, I'm kind of excited to see a lot of these young guys in the minors over the course of the year. I think I will have an eye to the minor leagues as much as I've ever had in our years here. Because it kind of feels like a few years ago when you had the eye to the minors with like, man, this Kirby guy's pretty good. This Logan guy's pretty good. There's some top-end pitching guys that are pretty good. I'm kind of, and I know that's not for April and May and June. If anything, it'll be late in the year. And anything, you know, their development may stall a little bit. But I'll keep a little eye to the Harry Fords and to Locklear down there and Tacoma.
Yeah,
just some of
guys
the
who could come up and help at some point this season. 509 weighing in. I feel like Mora might be taking a little bit of artistic license here. I'm not even going to finish the text. That's really all you need from it. Let's ask Brock some football questions.
This is Brock and Sox Blue 88.
Blue 88! Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Heward breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Sox.
All right, question number one for you, Brock. I know that starting today at 9 o'clock every day here, we're going to be going through your draft profile list, which is exciting. As you started working on your top 20, what position group kind of jumped out to you? Yeah, which one was the opposite?
A lot of notes here. A lot as I got into it, and I'm looking by position, kind of how I do it. I look at PFF's rankings, CBS rankings.
I know the answers to these, by the way.
Do you know the answers to both of them?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, the one that is the deepest that I have to sort through and figure out, okay, I'm not going to have six of one position on my top 20.
Linebacker.
Nope. Nope.
That's tight end. It's linebacker.
No, it's tight end. It's linebacker. No, actually, Salk, it's not linebacker. I got three linebackers, but no.
But you wanted to have more.
Nope. I mean, I did want to have more, but that's kind of all I'm looking at. No, tight ends, fullbacks, H-backs, kind of that position. That position that this coordinator's done a good job of through the years maximizing in different ways. At Fresno, at UW, along the ways, Ryan Grubb has used that position in multiple ways. They've got, obviously, a couple. Noah Fant got paid significantly, brought in Farrell Brown, gave him guaranteed $1 million to be a blocker. But you're going to have to round this out, man. It is going to be the group that is the single most different. You know, when people come to training camp, where's Colby Parkinson? Where's Will Dissly? Where's these guys I've watched the last 3 years? They're no longer here. But this is a draft that may not be, and you're not going to be looking at anybody. You're not going to be in for Brock Bowers at the top of the draft. The guy that I got for you today is probably a mid-rounder. And a bunch of these are kind of mid-rounders. But mid-rounders can turn into difference makers at that position. The one that is not intriguing, nearly as intriguing, is running back. And that's not just because you've got two and you're not even going to really look at that. I was even looking like late. Even, you know, Kenny McIntosh last season, 7th-round pick. Chris Carson, 7th-round pick. There's not as many intriguing running backs in this class as there have been in the past. And you know what? That's just fine for the Seahawks. Don't even be compelled nor intrigued to draft another running back anywhere in the first 4, 5, 6 rounds.
All right. Question number two. By the way, this team's going to like start working out together here in a week, right? It's a lot sooner and earlier than you would think. Geno Smith should go in with great confidence. How come?
Yeah, he should. There were some numbers flying around over the weekend, and I know we got some Mike McDonald quotes down there from the owners' meetings. We'll get to a little bit later today. But how about this? This was ML Football, but a lot of people were tweeting this. I think today Seahawks were the very first guy to do that, gal. Geno Smith, the last 2 years, NFC ranks.
Okay.
Where do his 7,906 passing yards rank in the NFC over the last 2 years, Saul?
Third.
Second. Where does his 67.4 completion percentage in all of the NFC rank?
Second.
Third.
Darn it.
Where do his 50 passing touchdowns over the last two seasons in the NFC rank?
First.
Third. Silver, bronze. That is all. That is in the entire NFC. You know, with some pretty good quarterbacks in the NFC. And the dude's durability, the dude's availability, and frankly, the guy's ability, which is the best in late fourth quarter and overtime moments, game-winning drives and game-winning touchdowns and touchdown passes to go ahead in those moments. Yeah, there's a reason that Mike McDonald, maybe some of the tune has changed a little bit. Like, there's no debate. He's going to go in the starter, shoulders back, chest out, chin up. You're the guy, and he's going to start that as the boys get together next week.
All right, question number three. You said last week that all the entire eyes of the football community would be in Ann Arbor for their pro day.
Yep.
Who shined?
Well, JJ stood out. He had two incompletions the entire throwing period. So if there was questions about his accuracy and ball placement and everything else, which are legit, I mean, those are certainly going to be questioned and picked apart and everything else. But he was incredibly impressive. He didn't run or jump, which surprised me a little bit. And maybe he's doing that privately for a couple of the teams that are going to be the single most interested down the stretch. But I was surprised he didn't run or jump. The name that is going to be on my list here that I probably will preview over the next 20 shows is an edge guy. And by the way, if Mike McDonald and crew did not take one Baltimore Raven yet, we'll see Clowney and Van Noy, and there's still some guys that were there last year as this roster rounds out towards training camp. I would be shocked if you don't see a Michigan Wolverine drafted. I'd be shocked because there's a bunch of them at the needs of your team. There's a bunch of history and background, not just with Mike McDonald for a year, but your linebacker coach, Jay Harbaugh, for years and years and years, knowing this personnel. And I'll give you one of the edge guys. His name's Jalen Harrell. He was 6'3 and 7, almost 6'4. He was 247. He ran 4'6. And he jumped really well. And the dude is just a relentless, chasing an edge kind of player. So they got another one, Braden McGregor, that's a little taller, that's a little longer. They've got a couple guards. They've got a tight end. They've got a linebacker. They've got a nickel receiver. Like, They got a lot of dudes. And if we end up after this draft in late April saying, wow, shocking, there's not a Wolverine or a Raven, I would be more than shocked. You're going to see, I think, somebody from Ann Arbor, if not a couple guys, a part of this roster moving forward.
All right, there you go. That is today's Blue 88. Some pushback here on your Geno stuff. Okay. 253. Everyone else asking, though, what about Geno's third down, conversion mm-hmm. rate and his red zone conversion rate? Yeah, mm-hmm. neither were spectacular. Both and then 253, this is stupid. Watch the games with your eyeballs. Geno's not the second or third best quarterback in the NFC. That's a joke. The only reason he has comebacks in the fourth is because he played so bad the other three quarters.
Mm. Well, this staff evaluated the whole situation. This regime that did not leave in management looked at the whole situation and said, actually, Geno, for the value and bang for the buck here in 24, there's no question about who's our best answer. And where we, you know, could get people within this draft and what free agency would look like. And you know what, with a whole new staff and a lot of young staff members, you know what you want? You want Geno Smith. Mm. You want Geno Smith. You want, to me, that level of stability, that level of production coming back, and frankly, that level of trust that I think a Tyler and a Jackson and a DK and a, well, maybe not DK as much, but a bunch of other guys have in Geno to be their quarterback.
And this is fair, too. I was thinking this, 4-2-5. The NFC doesn't really have any elite quarterbacks. I think that is true. The elite quarterbacks are, for the most part, right now in the AFC, right? Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Herbert.
And,
mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, who's in the NFC? Some good quarterbacks, but not really the elite level, which is why the NFC's been kind of wide open here the last couple of years. So good stuff. Really, really good stuff. A lot of fun there. We got more football to talk. We're going to have Joel Klatt on at 8:30 this morning. Brock's draft profile will be at 9 o'clock. And I want to follow up on something you said there, Brock, which we'll do a little bit later as well. I think it is very interesting that there's not a single Raven on this team right now, and I kind of want to know why that is. Before we do any of it, though, just a little bit more baseball conversation, because there was one image I saw yesterday. I was watching the game yesterday and saw one image that I think will tell a huge portion of this year's story. That's next on Brock and Salk.